Remember, December 17th, meet at the church at 1:15, and they're going to go caroling at 2 at one of the assisted living facilities, okay? Eagle Landing Boulevard, see Shirley or Linda Lewis about the event. That's the 17th of December. Remember that next Saturday the 3rd, we'll be decorating the church, okay? And we can use men as well as ladies. So, now, 2 weeks ago, we were in the 5th chapter of the book of Genesis. We did not get finished with that, so let's go there. Actually, chapter 5, verse 25. And it tells us in verses 25 and 20 through 27, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died, oldest man in the Bible, 969 years. Now, there is something I would like to interject at this point. We've been reading about the various genealogies leading up to Noah and after Noah. And Noah, we looked at Noah a little ways back. And all of these men drowned. They all drowned. They all died in the flood. Did you know that? Yes. I have done the math. I've studied it out. And every one of these men died in the flood for the last several generations because they were not worthy as Noah was. In Hebrews 9, 22 through 24, it tells us, in almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The Bible doesn't tell us about these men's sacrifices. They may have gone to hell. God sacrificed for Adam and Eve in the garden. But we don't read about these sacrifices. The only line that we read about where there were sacrifices was the line of Seth. The godly line. And it was called the godly line because they worshiped God and honored God. And so it was through Seth, he wasn't the third son. Adam and Eve had many sons, but Seth was their godly line that they had. And it was through Seth that we come to the life of Noah. And Noah walked with God. So, then, Genesis 5, 28 through 29. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son and called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Up until this time, we have not seen any men who might be considered prophets of the Lord. But Lamech was as close to being a prophet as any one of the people that we have looked at previously in the book of Genesis through chapter 5. He was of the godly line. Noah was of the godly line. And this statement about Noah being one of the to comfort them was kind of a prophecy. Let's finish the last three verses of this chapter, and we'll study about the circumstances around the flood of the last Sunday of November. That's today. Genesis 5, 30 through 32. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 70 and 7 years. And he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, normally when it tells us of a man's son, it starts with the senior son, the firstborn. And in all the cases of these men, it tells us they had a son. And they give us his name, and they tell us how old he was when he begat his first. In the case of Noah, I have looked at a lot of different commentaries, and I have not been able to confirm or negate the fact that it looks like Noah had triplets to help him. When it says that his sons were Shem, Ham, and Japheth, it does not tell us that they were born at different times. And this is the only one that has three sons named as being born to him. Pardon? I'm sorry, I can't hear. All three of them helped him, and all three of them got on the ark. None of them died. No, I said Noah had, it looks like Noah had triplets. I don't see any others that have two sons named. This is the only one. And so I think that he probably had triplets to help him in the building of the ark, because it was a monumental task. How many of you have been up to see the ark? Nobody? That would be a good trip. That would be a very good trip. We'll have to look into that. Okay? We'll see what we can do about getting that laid out. All right, that takes care of chapter 5. So now we are going to go into chapter 6. So if you are in chapter 5 and chapter 6 is on the same page as it is in my Bible, you stay right where you're at, okay? The opening words of chapter 6 are rather sad for humankind. And it starts a new phase in the history of mankind. Let's look at chapter 6 and see what God is forced to do. God, this was not a choice that God made. This was something that God was forced to do. Genesis 6, 1 and 2. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, this can mean two different things, and some people misconstrue this. What we are seeing in the first two verses of chapter 6 is the practice of sin. It is nothing new, and it did not get phased out as man continued to live upon the earth. The same practice goes on today, and many times parents are responsible for not stopping the practice. There are two groups mentioned here in the first two verses. The sons of God, they were from the godly line of Seth. Some people think that they were angels. That's not what the Bible's talking about here. The Bible is talking about the godly line of Seth. They were called the sons of God, just as we are called the children of God. Whole different circumstance. But it says they saw the daughters of men. They saw the daughters of the ungodly lines, Cain and all of the others who were not worshiping God. Now you can tell a young man that he should never date a non-Christian girl, and he will totally ignore you. You can tell a girl who is a Christian that she should never date a non-Christian man, young man, and she will totally ignore you. We have all done it. And it does not make God happy. It results in a lot of difficulty. A young woman might think, well, I can fix the young man. That's vain imagining. A young man might think, well, I can fix the young woman. But you and I can't save anybody. Neither can a young man or a young woman save anybody. God is the only one who can save them. And we have to remember that. They did not remember that in Noah's day. You had godly dating ungodly. And so I was telling, now who was I? I was talking with some of you. Was it yesterday or this morning? I wouldn't mind remarrying as long as she was maybe 22 or 23. Okay, now everybody's awake. That's not quite true, okay? But if I were ever to remarry, she could not be divorced, or I couldn't be a pastor. She would have to be a Christian, or I could not marry her. And there have been times when I have told some of you those very things. But we got them fixed. So, this is something that God had to do something about. Because in spite of what people think, if you're a good person and you are associated with a person who is not so good, you are not going to pull them up to your level. They're going to pull you down to theirs. We don't have the strength that we think we have of character or anything else. And so we have to keep in mind, if we're going to associate and make friends, those friends better be Christian if you want them to be good friends. Now, like I said, there's another theory on the part of some Bible scholars that propose a theory that the sons of God married angelic demons. And people who followed Satan. And they produced demonic offspring. This is just a theory, folks. This is not scriptural. What we have in Scripture is what these first two verses said, and we cannot add to nor take away. And this is very important, that we don't make assumptions that are not true based on what somebody else tells us. Only what we read in here is to be believed, is to be authentic or carry authority in our lives. There is a group that believe that the sons of God married people of the world who were demonic, and that created demons, other demons. Satan had all the demons he needed when he left heaven. He had a third of the angels with him. Some of them are in hell, confined, waiting for judgment. Many of them are in the world around us today. They are living in other people. They might be living in an animal. Was it impossible? No. Remember what Jesus did with 2,000 demons? He cast them into the swine. And the swine had enough sense to go commit suicide. They drowned in the sea. But animals can be demonic. Dogs, cats, you'd be surprised. And so, please don't give me a dog. The theory is wrong for a number of reasons. First of all, we're told by the Word of God that angels are sexless, and they are not, it's not possible for them to produce children or to marry. If you will check out Matthew 22, 29 through 30, you will see that Jesus explained this fact to the Sadducees. And let me read that for you just so it's firm in your mind. Jesus answering said unto them, that's the Sadducees who wanted to know which of the husbands would come back to live with a wife. And he said, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as of the angels of God in heaven. Angels do not have sex. They don't possess sex. As you can see from this explanation, angels are sexless and unable to father children. Although the sons of God married the daughters of Cain, not all of them did, and so the godly line continued to Noah, Genesis 6:3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. This verse is a warning to mankind to do better, or God was going to have to implement some drastic changes. Of course, man didn't listen. And the next verse has caused some confusion among the group that proposed that satanic demons were the daughters of men. Their error has not been acknowledged by them. Remember their mistake about angels producing offspring? Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of men, the sons of God, came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. It had nothing to do with demons. When God made man in the Garden of Eden, he created within the genetic makeup of man the ability to make tall men, like Michael, and short men, like me. Okay? He also put genetic information into man that would have produced giants. Occasionally, we still have giants today. And it is not demonic. It's genetic. It's the way God made man. And the giants were not a result of demonic women and godly men producing children. It is a result of human genetics at work in a normal way. The giants were part of the normal production of the human race. Now, it talked about having giants in those days. What happened to those giants? The flood. They drowned. They died. Who did David fight many years later? Goliath, another giant. So you see, the genetic information was still in Noah. And under the right circumstances, the right genetic information came together and you had a giant. God made men that way. He made you the way you are. One of the things that the Bible tells us, and it's got nothing to do with what we're studying in Genesis, but it tells us we're not to mark our bodies and things. And so today, I look at the tattooing that some of these people have. Women, too. I mean, it used to be men were the ones who got the tattoos, and now it's women just as much as the men are, and maybe more so. That does not improve their looks. I don't know why they do that. Men do it because they're stupid. But I don't know. Now, if any of you men got a tattoo, I'll be leaving shortly. Okay. Now, God said don't do that. He made you the way he made you because that's the way he wanted you. He wants to use you the way he made you. So, God, giants were not the result. The giants were just part of the normal production of the human race. The men of renown were just the offspring. We sometimes, some of us have smart children. Some of us have children that are not so smart, but we're prejudiced about our children, and that's okay. We love them. They're ours. But there are smart children, and there are children who are not so smart, and they can be born of the same parent. Again, that's genetic information that God put there. It's not anything that any of us did, okay? God made another decision. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That speaks very poorly of the human race. But it speaks truthfully. Many of our imaginations are not uplifting to God, or not according to the will of God. When I tell you I'm looking for a 22 or 23-year-old, immediately you take difference with that. Strom Thurmond did it. Let's move on. When we come to verse 5, we learn some truth that man has never been willing to receive. In verse 5, man's wickedness in the earth was great. Man's wickedness in the earth today is still great. It still is. It wasn't the wickedness of the animals that were created. It was the wickedness of man. Animals aren't wicked. They don't have a soul. They don't decide good and bad or decide good from bad. Now, you might think so, and you might take, you might part with me on this. I have seen a dog, knowing that he did something he wasn't supposed to do, look ashamed. I have also seen men and women do the same, okay? Connie and I came home one day at camp, and I had laid some hot dogs out I'd put them in the container. We were going to roast them, and I went to the house to get them to roast, and the ends were eaten off from them. And there sat our dog in the kitchen looking. Man is basically the only one. We condition our dogs to do and act in certain ways. They don't know that they don't commit sin. Man commits sin. So, it was the wickedness of man, the descendants of Adam and Eve. It started with Eve, and it carried on through Cain, and even some of Seth's children had problems with wickedness. But the condemnation of God went even further. He said that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. He wasn't thinking any good thoughts. That's why God had to destroy him. There was nothing thought or intended that was not evil in man. Everything done was evil at the time of Noah. That's hard to imagine. You think, you say, oh, I knew a woman who she would give benefit of the doubt to a thief. She bought some groceries and some medication. She bought a gallon of milk and some other things at a pharmacy up in New Jersey. Left it, set it in the front seat of her car, and decided she'd go across the street and get one other item. When she came back, the milk was gone, and so was the pharmacy items. And she said, well, he was probably hungry and didn't realize he was taking medicine. There are people like that, folks. Good people. Nice people to know. Genesis 6, 6 and 7. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. There was to be no redemption for man at this point in God's history. He had made, before the earth was ever created, he had made a provision to redeem man. But that, it wasn't time. It was in God's time. And that's the problem that we all have. We don't want to operate in God's time. We want to operate in our time. And many times that means we run ahead of God. And if we just waited, God would take care of it. But we don't wait. And Jesus had done the creating, and everything that he had made was good. So how did man get so wicked? It was that fruit, that knowledge of good and evil. We don't need knowledge of evil. We don't have... A lot of people tell you, well, I just did this because I wanted to know what it would be like. What a stupid response. We don't need to know what it's like. All we need to know is what good is and try and do it. There was nothing that God could do at this point with mankind but to start over. God has the right to make that decision for all of us. He's God. Genesis 6, 8 and 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Now there are only two men in that day who walked with the Lord. One was Enoch, the second Enoch, not Cain's Enoch, Seth's Enoch. And he was translated, and he did not see death. And Noah was obedient and provided for the saving of his family. Noah walked with God, but Noah died. He died an older man, but he died. There was only one other man who didn't die. Elijah, who descended to heaven in a chariot of fire. Okay? We've got two men who have never died, Enoch and Elijah. And when we get into the time of the great tribulation, there will be two witnesses. God will have two witnesses during the tribulation. And I believe because there are two men who have not died, and God has said it is given unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, that they will be the two witnesses, Elijah and Enoch. Okay? So, God saw no way to fix anything but to start over with Noah and his family as the seed for future mankind. Genesis 6, 10 through 12. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. As humans, we don't understand the holiness of God. Even though we are born again Christians, even though we have been born again by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we still do not understand the holiness of God. We can't imagine it because we cannot normally experience it. God cannot coexist with sin. That's why he does not hear our prayers. If we have sin in our heart, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66, 18. So Noah was the only person that God could talk to. And so Noah was going to have to be the one to fellowship with God. Do you realize that God wants fellowship with his creation? God wants to fellowship with us. There are times when we cannot fellowship with him because we are sinning. We are either sinning the sin of pride or some other kind of act of sin. And so we cannot fellowship with God like he would like to fellowship with us. We sometimes can't even fellowship with each other for the very same reason. Verse 13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God was going to destroy everything that he had made. Isn't it interesting that God told Noah what he was going to do? And I wonder if God told Noah's family they were going to need some incentive to work without a break for 100 years. Think about that. Every day for 100 years. They would have to work. You get tired after 5 days? Do you expect a break? Do you expect a vacation? Yeah. For 100 years, they were going to have to work. They were going to have to work hard. I don't know how they did the things that they did. Once you see the ark, and if at all possible, we're going to try and arrange this coming year, fairly early in the year, sometime before Easter, we're going to try and go up and see the ark as a group, okay? Now, it might cost a little bit of money, but it's only money, okay? But I would like for you to see that. When you come around that curve going up the hill to where the ark is, and you see that structure in front of you, you're going to go, oh. You will not believe your eyes. You will not. And that ark was built to the very same specifications that this ark that Noah's going to be told about is built. And when you see the structure itself, when you get inside of the structure and you see all of the wood that is there to build that structure, you're going to wonder, how did Noah and his sons ever do this? They didn't have electric saws and cordless drills, and they didn't even have nails. The ark is not nailed together. It's put together with pegs, wooden pegs. And you will see it. It's 3 stories high. It's 450 feet long. It would not fit on this piece of property. It's 75 feet wide, 45 feet high. Fantastic. These people would be telling the rest of the people around them what was going to happen, what was coming to the world, that the world was coming to an end. If you went out and went downtown and started telling people the world is coming to an end, what would they think of you? A little fruity, okay. Been out in the sun a little bit too long. I wonder how the world felt when that first drop of rain hit them in the face. What was that? Was that a bird? I wonder how, if they were jeering, or if they went into a panic. The scripture tells us that Noah warned them. It tells us that he preached to them during his lifetime, during the 100 years that he was building the ark, he was telling them why. 2 Peter 2, 4 and 5 says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved to judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." We now come to the instructions on building the ark. Noah was the first man to go by the instructions. Now take note of that, ladies. Man doesn't look at instructions. That's the last thing he does. He puts it together and then he looks at the instructions to see where all these parts go that are left over. It's always been that way. It was that way in Noah's day, except for Noah followed the instructions. Okay? Isn't that amazing? He assembled everything according to the instructions. He didn't assemble it first and then read the instructions. Genesis 6, 14 through 16. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make into the ark, and in a cubit it shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall be set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. So he has been given instructions as to what this thing is to look like. It is to be 45 feet high. It is to have three stories. It is to have the door in the side at the second story. There is a window to be finished. It says a cubit, that's 18 inches, about like that. The full length of the ark. It wasn't just a little window that he stood in and let the crow out. And that window runs the full length of the top of the ark. Look at what it says. Okay, and it says, the window shalt thou make into the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. So it ran above the entire ark. Now that did several things. That provided some ventilation. Folks, if you're with a bunch of elephants and cows, you want some ventilation. I can tell you. And so that provided ventilation for the ark. God is very practical. It's amazing how practical he is. It was huge. 300 cubits is 450 feet long. 75 feet in width. It was more than twice the width. It was about twice the width of this auditorium. Huge. Huge. So the window ran the entire length of the structure. If you visit the Ark Experience in Kentucky, you will be awed by the size of the Ark. You really will be. There was room for at least two of every kind of animal that God had created it. Two. That included the dinosaurs. Genesis 6, 17, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. At this point, God tells Noah of his judgment upon the earth. Death was the only judgment that would take care of the sin. There are times when God still brings a particular judgment into people's lives. I sort of think, and I think I can't confirm it, but I sort of think that this COVID thing was a judgment of God upon the earth. Because it's still going on. And it will continue to go on as long as we are here. In Ezra 18:4, God tells us this. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's why we all have to be saved, folks. That's what we're being saved from, is from a dead soul. What do we say? Got to be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand that. How can I enter again when I'm a full-grown human being into my mother's womb and be born again? No, that's not the way you need to be born. You need to have your soul born again. And all those people out there who we call lost, they're walking around with dead souls. They're walking around with dead souls. And we are supposed to tell them that. We can't do anything about that. God can. So we're supposed to tell them in a way that they will know that they can go to God and get that fixed. We can't fix it, but God can and He will. And that's the whole thing behind it. Jesus Christ is the only other solution for sin that we have in the entire universe. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Under heaven. It's not talking about the atmosphere on the earth. It's talking about under this vast universe that we live in. Genesis 6:18-21. With thee will I establish my covenant. This is God talking to Noah. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth, after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. June bugs, mosquitoes, gnats. Can you imagine being one of those animals in the ark with all the other animals? It doesn't stop there, though. Verse 21. And thou shalt take unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it unto thee, and it shall be for food to thee and for them. Now this is why God made man and all of his creation to begin with vegetarians. Because Noah was in that ark for months and months. He didn't have refrigeration. Can you imagine a chunk of meat laying there for months? God is so practical. Vegetation is the only thing that wouldn't necessarily rot if it was harvested the right way. That means it has to be brought in when it's dry. You can't bring it in wet. Many a barn has burned down because they put wet hay in the haymow. And that hay generates heat with that moisture. And it gets hotter and hotter, and soon there's a little wisp of smoke, and soon there's a little glowing ember, and soon you burn the barn down if you put wet hay in the barn. And so Noah had to go out during the 100 years that he was building the ark, and his sons had to be harvesting food for the animals and for Noah and his family. They all eat the same stuff. It was after the flood that God told Noah and his sons, okay, you can eat meat now. Because when he put those animals on that ark, God's intention was to bring them through the flood so that they could reproduce more animals of their kind. And if you had animals eating animals, that wasn't going to work. So So notice that we have the beginning of the Noahic covenant. Also observe that God is very practical regarding the care of his creation. He provided food for them. He told Noah to provide food. He included everything. God wanted Noah to provide food for all those animals in the ark. And like I said, I've been through the ark in Kentucky, and there was storage for everything. You're going to just be amazed once you see this. And lastly, we have God's comment on Noah's obedience. Genesis 6:22. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So he did. And that takes care of chapter 6. Any questions? Yes. Of course you do, Shirley. Seth was the beginning of the godly line. He was born unto Adam and Eve. That was to replace Abel. Abel was actually the first one who offered a sacrifice to God, and he offered a blood sacrifice. That's why Cain killed him. Yes. With what? I still didn't really hear the question, so. Oh, to Ezra? All right. Yes. Let's see. That dealt with the soul. Here it is. Ezra 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine, and the soul of the Father, so the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezra 4. That's also where God tells us that the Spirit goes back to him when we die. Pardon? Oh, okay. I'll have to then look it up. It may be Ezra 4. I will look it up, and I will have an answer for you next Sunday night when we look at chapter 7. Okay. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for sharing with us the things that you have done here upon this earth in preparation for our living here. May your will be done in each one of our hearts. May we love you as you love us. And Father, may we serve you as you provide for us, and we will praise you for all that you do. Because, Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.